Good to us. We're thankful for his goodness. We are in a series dealing with the words of Jesus, everything he's ever said. It's an important series. And right now we're addressing the topic that he brought up on the kingdom. I mean, you know, that's important. If he brought it up, we ought to be at least looking at it carefully. So he brings up this topic that we need to pray, thy kingdom come. And then he says in Matthew 6, but seek first the kingdom of God. Now, we went over this long list of the essential things of life that our king knows we need. I mean, you know, your king knows what you need. And he's not a bad king. He's not an evil king. He's a good king. And a good king, he wants to take care of his people. That's his intention, to take care of us. So he says, he's given us this list of things. Yeshua points it out to us. He says, don't worry about what you wear, what you're going to eat, all these things. But seek first. What's the primary thing? First, we seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then these things, the essential things of life, are added to you. So that's where we left off last Sunday, and we were talking about scripture that explained how vast the kingdom of God is. And I stopped on Psalms 145. I didn't have time to read that, so I need to read it today just to get us back where we back on track. Now, I broke this down in three parts. So the kingdom of God is going to take some time for us because it's a three-part series. And so, as we said, just looking at the words of Jesus is a big series in itself. It takes a couple of years to do. But now we are going to add to that by taking on this part. I think it's necessary that we do so. So I'm going to read 145, and then I'm going to talk to you about the kingdom. I think there's some things that we're not really truly understanding, and we want to understand the kingdom, especially if we're going to teach on this subject. There are many thoughts, many ideas about the kingdom of God, but we're not interested in thoughts and ideas. That's not what helps us. I can give, just because a man can think don't make it right. My thoughts and my ideas are not what you need to hear today. We need to see what the king says. That's right. We need to listen to what he says, because it's going to be his kingdom. And there are certain qualifications for a kingdom. There are qualifications. In order to even have a kingdom, first qualification, you can't have a kingdom where there's no king. Let me understand that. To be a kingdom, to have a kingdom, we say the kingdom of Yahweh, kingdom of God. So that's what we're looking at. That's the title of this part that we're dealing with. So to have a kingdom, if we're going to pray in the model prayer, thy kingdom come. How many have ever prayed that prayer? We know we taught that prayer from the youngster. We pray that prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. What's the next part? Thy kingdom come. So that's what we do. You believe you, when you say that's what you want? Or we're just saying it to say it, to take up time. But we believe that we want his kingdom to come. Okay, with that being said, we believe that to have a kingdom, you have to have a king. That's number one. Number two, you can't have a kingdom where there's no subjects. There's no kingdom where there's no subjects. So you got to have a king and you got to have subjects. And we have to understand what we're asking for, we really don't mean. I'm going to show you today what you've asked for all your life in prayer. You didn't mean it. See, this is when it gets interesting. And I'm going to show you why I know you didn't mean it. Because if we really pray and mean that, then we would live by that. We would recognize him as a king. The reason we don't, because we don't live in a kingdom. We here, sitting here, you never have lived in a kingdom. We live in a republic, a democratic, we are in a democracy, but it's truly a republic. One fellow said in his writing, he says, a monarchy is a mask being worn, but truly they are a republic. And his next statement was, in a republic is really a mask being worn, but they're truly a monarchy. Both of those statements are correct. So we don't mind somebody in being that reigns, and we get to say who reigns. How many's ever voted? It's you saying who reigns. Well, mine didn't win. You still got a chance to choose. Who chooses God as their king? Well, I'll pick God. You know, I looked at everybody, and he seems to be the best candidate. That's still a monarchy. You don't mind God to reign, but one thing you don't want is for him to rule. And to have a true kingdom, you have to have a king who rules his subjects. Other than that, it's not a kingdom. It's just a democracy. And let me tell you what we don't want to really give up. Our freedom to do what we want. We don't like it in real life, and we definitely don't like it in church life. Now, me and Pastor Josh had a little sit-down for a church. If he's late, it's because of me. If he comes out here late, that's because I'm doing sermon number one in the office. So I said, I'm looking at my clock, and I'm like, I think you got to go. But every time, so just understand, if he gets out here 5 minutes late, that's because I was rambling on. Thank you, Miss Charlotte. That was an amen if you didn't realize that. if you've been married as long as we have, is an amen. I hear everything, and I see everything. I'm watching. He said that, you remember that last service when he went, preach it. That was in reference to you, and I just transferred the message. So how many want to know about the kingdom that we're supposed to be praying for? Remember, we're dealing with the Matthew 6, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then these things, meaning all the essential things of life, whatever you can think about in life, money, finance, relationship, whatever it is that you can think of that you need to make it in life, he'll give them to you. Because he's a good king. He's a great king. He's a fair king. He's a righteous king. But it doesn't operate until you recognize him as king and you need to be a subject. Wow. Well, I thought I was doing that. You know, sometimes I go to church. I would underline sometimes. Because the king says to go. When he says to go, you should go. Because he's king. Well, sometimes I don't feel like it. You're not a subject. But I'm a Christian. You're not a subject. But I do good things. You're not a subject. Because you won't listen to the king. Therefore, there's no kingdom. So we can play games, or we can really study this kingdom that he says we should seek first. This is our master. This is Jesus himself. Our master says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then these things shall be added unto you. Wow. So we have this idea that in our own mind we can create what that is. Just a little history. The last kingdom from Britain, there's a queen there, but she don't rule. She's the queen. And people think, well, you know, she's in charge. She's not in charge. She reigns over a certain portion of that monarchy. But she don't rule. There's things that she can't decide. That's why they have parliament. Parliament decides those things. But a king doesn't have a parliament. And a king doesn't reign. So we sing songs that are really nice. Our God reigns. Right? Our God reigns. That's what we exactly what we want him to do. We want him to reign, but we don't want him to rule. There's a difference. So we don't mind giving him his spot to reign. Most likely, what we want him to reign over is our troubles. When we're in trouble and we got stuff that we're not sure about, we call on God to help us through these difficulties. He reigns over my finances. He reigns over my health. He reigns over my children. He reigns over things that when they get chaotic, it's his fault. But we don't want to give him the spot that the scripture gives him, and that's he's king. If he's king, he rules. So is there a selection on the rules that I follow as a subject? Do I get to pick which ones I want? Think about that. I was just flipping through my Bible, and there's 10 sort of rules here. Maybe some people think they're suggestions. But let me just give you 10 of them, okay, real quick. Thou shalt have no other mighty ones before me. This is from the king. Well, you know, the way I see it, you can come to God in many different ways and many different paths. What is that what he said? Remember, we're talking about a king. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images or any likeness of anything. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them. So what we have now is we have Jesus. He's going to be tested in these rules. Because remember, Jesus has to have a king first before he can be promoted to the position God's going to give him. It's a given position. He set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, and every name that's named. So he gives him a seat above all of the kings. But did he get that seat because he's just the Son of God? Or was he tested? Remember, Satan takes Jesus in Luke 4, and he shows him all the kingdoms of the world. The kingdoms of the world. And he says, if you'll bow down and worship me, I'll give them to you. And what does he say? He's written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, Yahweh thy Elohim. This is what he said. Thou shalt worship Yahweh thy Elohim, and him only shall thy serve. That word is latria in the Greek. It means you become a subject to him. Wow. You mean it's that serious? I think it is. It's really that serious. We become a subject to the king. So because he became that and was the first fruits of them that sleep, then he was promoted to that position. So in God, to usher in the kingdom of God, he's going to send his selection. He selects his son to be king of this earth. He's going to send him, and he's going to set up the rule of God. Now, the question to ask again, are we really having church? Or are we really wanting to become subjects of the king? Think about it. Are we just here having church? Or truly in our hearts, do we want to follow his rule? Because until you do that, you are not a subject. Therefore, you can call yourself whatever you want, especially our favorite word that starts with C. And it means nothing. Because subjects honor the king with everything they do. They think about the king daily. Think about that. Now, in Britain, it's been quite a long time because King James was the one that was responsible for translating the King James Bible, 1611. It was issued. He was as close as you get to still having Britain be ruled by a king. By then it was crumbling, and so he passed on his ideas to his son Charles, and we all know what happened to him. You know why? People didn't want no king. And you know today, people still don't want a king. Because we love democracy. We love making our own decisions. But if you're going to go and serve God, and you're going to sing songs that he's your king, you better mean what you say. You say, why does it have to be so serious this morning? Because this is a serious matter. My responsibility is to teach you the scripture. Jesus is the speaker, Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of Yahweh. Okay? How do we do that? What is that? And so we are taking this on, and we're going to ask these questions. We're going to ask some questions to help us learn this. We're going to break it down into three parts. So the beginning of this is just, we call it the introduction. I'm going to read Psalms 95. So I just want you to know there is a king. There's still a few places in the world, like the king of Jordan. He's a king and he rules. There's no elections, no free elections. Saudi Arabia, there's a king. You don't go around in Saudi Arabia and say, well, I wonder who I'm voting for. That's unheard of because he's a king. There's no elections. You're born in or you're not one. Now, isn't it amazing to get in God's kingdom, you have to be born in. Wow. You have to be born again to get in it. Every person here can get in it. But you can't bring in democracy to the kingdom where it's free elections. I get to choose when I pray. I get to choose when I go to church. It's my choice. God won't have it. Not in his kingdom. Remember, to have a kingdom of God, you have to have a king. And you have to have subjects. And that's the one thing, the last thing I just said. We don't mind recognizing him as God reigns. But one thing we don't say is he rules. Because if you say that, does he rule your life? Or are you still doing what you want to do? I'm my own boss. I'll do what I want. Think about that. So I was troubled by this whole part, and I just was basically at a standstill with it. And yesterday, I had a breakthrough yesterday. So I can't say, well, I'm not going to say anything, Lord, until you show me this. I was mandated to start this last week, and we started. But I still was like, Lord, there's something missing here, and we got to get this. So you can think about this throughout the remainder of this service. Do you really want to be a subject? Because people say, well, I'm going to give my life to the Lord. That we say those things, but what does that mean? You want to give him the part you dislike about you? The part that's hurting? The part that needs? See, what part of you are you giving to him? Are you, so we're selective. If you're selective, you're not a subject. You want to give God what's broken so he can fix it. But when everything's good and all the pieces are put back together, our tendency is to forget that there's a king that rules. We don't mind him reigning in our life. And so we'll go on until we break it again. And then we know exactly where to go when it's all broken. Back to the king who can fix it because he did it the first time. And kind of live our life that way. And you wonder why so many churches in our world today? Listen, we can have many places of worship, but why are there so many rules? You ever ask that? Because we all want what we want. We don't want what he wants, because if we were all following the king, we'd only have one set of rules. There can be many places of worship, many, all over the world. But our commonality is that God is king and he rules. And we follow his direction, period. But instead, we don't have that. We have a printout copy of our statement of faith. What we believe. Again, we insert in our... We made a decision. Who come up with this? Well, the board. The board got together and we voted. Do you vote in the kingdom? Did I mention that? Did I mention you don't vote in the kingdom? What? See, already you don't like this. But we don't. I don't want to be told what I can do and can't do, but we want God to come when we really need him. And it's serious. If we're at death's bed, and we're praying all we got. Well, we definitely want the God who comes and helps with healing, whatever it is, emergency, he's emergency God, whatever it is. We want that. But at the end of the, when it's all over and things kind of settle down, we only want him to reign, never rule. That's not a kingdom. So we're praying for something, but we don't mean it. I like quiet. Psalms 145, let me just read one to you. I read some last week. Psalms 145, I will extol thee, my Elohim, O King. I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Think about this. Now, in a Jewish home, those who understand kingdoms, because they came from understanding kingdoms. So when terms are used, if you've never been under a king, you don't understand those terms. A Jewish person that's getting ready for a meal, they would start their meal by saying, O Majesty. When's the last time you opened up a prayer like that? Is he O Majesty? Wow. O Majesty. The one who rules. You ought to try that. Just listen to yourself say it. It's a strange thing to hear because we're not used to it. We have no idea about kingdoms unless you've lived in a place where there were kingdoms. But in America, there's never been a king. Only a monarchy or republic, both of them the same. Free and fair elections. Isn't that amazing? And you know what? That's what we want in the church. You know, you might leave from here and say, you know what? I don't know. Pastor wasn't fair today. I don't know how to take what he said today. If you're an emotional person, you're not going to take what I say today really well. But I'm not trying to gain your emotional reaction. I'm trying to tell you what the word says, the truth. He says, seek first the kingdom of God. What is that? What is the kingdom of God? Well, to have a kingdom, you first have to have a king. And you have to have subjects. And he rules, not reigns. What he says goes, period. And everything you do, you have to keep in mind the king. How does he look at what I'm about to do? You mean everything? Remember, we want him in Lord of our life if we're in financial trouble. God, come in. Come on in, Lord. Look at this mess. We are sick unto death. Lord, you come in right now. You're Lord of everything. Because we know if we don't get a miracle, we're going to die. See, we don't mind using those terms when we're in a crisis. But a kingdom's not just about crisis. A kingdom is about a king who loves his subjects. But the only thing we got in mind is the king, you know, if you give him all the power, he won't do good. Do you? So you don't really believe God is good. We say that. You're like, I'll say God is good, and you'll say all the time. You know, we get these little catchphrases. But they don't, we just like saying them. But we believed it. We surrender our life to him and be subjects. We just surrender our lives. But we don't want to be subjects. We just want to come and put a suit on and play the part. Just let's go to church. That way I can go home and tell, I can tweet it out. I went to church today. And if we do good, we can all take a selfie in the back there and post that. This way I was today, or whatever they call it, checking in. I'm checking in. I'm at Faith Temple. Wow. But see, the truth be told, think about this. All of us sitting here, my heart's desire is to see every one of you in the kingdom of God. That's my heart's desire. It should be the desire of every person, every pastor, every leader, every person to see the people. I want to see you in the kingdom. I want to be there, and my hope is you get there. But we're not getting there. Just because we talk about fluff. We're not getting there because we just want to deal with what's the coating on the outside. We don't mind icing and preaching. You can make a cake could be a flop, but you cover it with the right icing and it looks good. But if you get a cake and they tell you don't cut it. And that's what we want. We want the cake, but we don't want somebody to dig in it and figure out what it really tastes like. And I'm here to dig in the cake. I'm here to tell you that if we're going to seek the kingdom of God, I want you to know what that is. It's a king. And he's king of the universe. And before God, there's nothing. He's self-existing. There's none like him. His glory is underived. And he comes out and he steps out of eternity into time and says, let there be light, and there was light. He created the universe. He created everything that we see. He created the angels and the animals. He created the human race. He creates man in his own image and his likeness. And you think, wow, this is going good. This is really going good. So what do we have when he does all of this? Because he's the one did it. We have a good king who creates, because we don't exist outside of him bringing us into existence. We owe it to him to recognize him as a good king. We owe it to him. We have the earth that, last time I checked, in my assets, I didn't deposit it. It was here when I got here. Wow. Think about that. Somebody produced that. So we're talking about this king. It's amazing how wonderful he is. Now, he creates man. And he creates the angels. He has a system. He creates the angels. The angels are amazing. If you read the Bible about angels, they're more powerful than we are. They're faster than we are. We're limited, but they're faster. They're powerful. They do things that are just incredible. And he makes man a little lower than the angels. So we're a little lower than the angels. Think about that. So now we got this kingdom. It's wonderful. We got man, angels, animals. Everybody's in this kingdom. And the angels decide we don't want to be subjects anymore. We're not listening to God. So they get this lead angel, Hasatan, Satan. We're going to build a kingdom bigger and better. I'll build my kingdom above his. What does that tell me right there? He's no subject. So a disqualification of a kingdom, it all went wrong right there. One third of the angels fell out of sorts with God. Did that change God from being king? He's still king, but the kingdom's messed up. Because what we're missing, remember, to have a complete kingdom, we got to have a king, subjects. So we got the kingdom messed up, but we still have a what? A king. Never forget that. There's not a scripture one you'll find where he ceased to be king of the universe. Not one. And then in the garden, here comes man. And God says, what does the king give? Well, we didn't do so good with the angels. Let's give it to man here. All of this is yours. I'm just going to give it to you. But here's, don't touch this tree right here. Don't touch it. Don't fool with it. It's not yours. It's mine. What does man do? He don't like a king. Him and Hasatan gets together and have this conversation. You're going to be as God. You'll be like God. You'll be like the what? In Jewish literature, when you say as God, it means as the king. You'll be equal to the king. If you're equal to the king, is that a kingdom? Can you imagine all of us in charge? Equal power? Equal authority? It would take less than a day to blow the whole world up. Because we ain't letting nobody one up on us, and we all got equal power, so we just kill each other. So man says, we're just going to go against what the king says. So now we got what? A messed up kingdom. Do you eliminate the king? No, you still have a king. That's why we're to pray, thy kingdom come. And what are we to seek first? Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of Yahweh. Seek his kingdom first. Then these things, the essential things, will be added unto you. So we're going to understand this fully on what he's saying here. So he went through a lot of stuff. So we don't get saved. That's the term being used. We don't get saved so we can then tell God how we want to live our life as a Christian. The subject comes to the king. Well, yeah, I thank you. I was at the bottom of the ocean. I was done. I didn't know what else to do. I tried everything I could, but I fell out the boat and there I went. I went down to the bottom, but here comes you. You came and you got me out, saved my life. I thank you for saving me. Now, I just want to give you a list of things the way I see it. The way I see it, I don't know why I got to do this. Why would I? I don't like that Old Testament stuff. You see the problem we have? We want to bring a monarchy, a republic, a democratic mindset into this kingship. Can't do it. Because if you do that, then you don't do it. Just don't do it. It'd be better that you don't do it than to say, I'm going to do it and get sideways with God. Because let's talk about what happens. What happened to Satan when he got sideways with God? He was cast out of heaven. What happened with man when he got sideways with God? Cast out the garden. Are you following my drift here? You don't win. You get sideways with the king, you don't win. So we get invited back into the kingdom. When you say, well, I'm started going to church. What does that mean? You are invited back. You hear the gospel. What did Jesus preach? He preached the gospel of the kingdom. That was his message. He said, for this primary reason, I was sent into the world to teach people about the kingdom of God. And so, and what did he do? Did he keep the rule of the king? Every one of them. Whatever the king said, that's what he did. If the king didn't say it, he didn't do it. Every decision he made was based on what the king's thoughts were, not his own thoughts. You never see Jesus going around saying, well, you know, the way I see it. And it happens a lot in leadership. You go places where there's a lot of leaders there, everybody's got a way to see it. It's just the way it is. We do. We have a way to see it. Well, you know, I've been doing this so long. What does that matter? What if we just stopped all of that and said, I don't care. It don't matter what I think. What does the word say? What does it actually say? That's the goal of understanding the kingdom of God. I will let me finish reading this. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is Yahweh, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. So I'm not talking, we're talking about the king here of the universe. His greatness, you can't even search it out. It's beyond our finite mind. We're limited in our capacity to search it out. One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. Yahweh is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. Yahweh is good to all. Remember that. All. It rains on the just and the unjust. He don't select. He said, well, I'm going to go to church and the Lord will start blessing me. He been blessing you before you got here. That's not the start of the blessing. That's the start of you and I being subjects. Meaning we follow the rule of the king. That's what our focus is. To become a Christian is to follow the rule of the king. I'm becoming like Christ. That's what it means to be Christ-like, Christian. So I'm Christian. What did Christ do? He followed the rule of the king. He was a perfect subject. Not my will, but thy will. Not what I speak, but what you speak. Remember that. He got nothing to say. If somebody asks you, what do you have to say? I have nothing to say. I'm only going to say what the Father says. Whatever the king says. I'm here as a subject of the king. I'm not going to bad talk the king, talk about the king. I'm not going to dislike his ways. I signed up for this. I want to be a subject, whatever the king says. You know what we do? Let me think about it a little bit. If you think about it, if you get man's mind thinking about it, you're going to wind up in a lot of trouble. Because we just, listen, we don't think in terms like God thinks. His ways are not our ways. Think about that. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Well, how do we get the mind of God? How does that happen in us? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. We have to follow our master, who potentially is going to be the acting king for at least 1,000 years. At minimum, when he returns, he's going to be the acting king. But we know that he's been given that time. But when it's all said and done, what does he do? He turns the kingdom back to the one who gave it to him. It's just a moment in time. Well, what is he going to do in that 1,000 years? He's going to make sure everything that was wrong is made right. Everything that's wrong. What's the job of subjects? the way you live and conduct your life, you're saying, I'm going to check everything that's been wrong in my life, we're going to make it right. Can we do it in our own power? We can't do it in our own power. That's why he said, and you shall receive power after that Holy Spirit has come upon you. We get empowered by Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God empowers us to live the Christian life. Outside of that, we can't do it. None of us can. We have to receive the mercy and grace that's been given to us that was paid for by Jesus. He paid for it in full. We receive that. Now we got the power on top of that to act out what we just received. Other than that, you received it, but you don't know how to act it out. You're going to go for a while. Does that mean you're not a Christian? Well, sure, you're a Christian. But how long are you going to be one? That's just up to you. Think about that. What am I doing with it? You say, well, I thought once I get it, I got it forever. You mean to tell me you can't lose it? You can't forfeit it? You can't then live your life to the dictates of a democracy and never become a subject of God? Yeah, I can go through the motions. I can cast out devils, heal the sick. I can do all those things. But what does Yeshua say when you stand before him and explain all that to him? He's going to say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I don't know you. That's some dangerous words. We don't want to hear those words. How do we prevent that? We understand, as a Christian, you are a subject to the King. That's truly seeking first the kingdom. And you're going to follow his rule. You don't want him to reign in your life. You want him to rule in your life. And that word right there is a tough one, because we are not suited to hear those terms. We like free, and we like fair. We like to make sure we get to make our choice. Let me tell you what happens when man makes his choice. He can't decide. Man can't decide whether a baby should live or not. What do you think God thinks? The King. If you ask the King, should the baby live? What do you think the King's going to say? But man's deciding, you see, because we can make decisions. Now I don't know. You know, I really need to think about this, because maybe we don't want to infringe upon the rights of the mother, but I know the baby's born, but I don't know. We have to think about this. That's what man does. Where's God at? You understand? So he's excluded out. So if he's excluded out, do you live in the kingdom of God? The answer is no. You're not seeking the kingdom of God, so it's there it is. It's laid out for us. So this is not anything that you can fake. You can't fake it. You can fake Christianity. Let me just tell you. You can really fake that. I remember, I can't even tell you the times that I wore the mask. It's easy. Easy to do. You can fake Christianity. But you can't fake being a subject. That's impossible. You can't do it. That's why he said, seek first the kingdom of God. What's the last phrase? And his righteousness. The righteousness takes the fake away. Because it's not your righteousness, nor is it mine. It's his righteousness. It's the power, it's the authority that he gives us to be a subject. But Christianity, we can all fake it. It's easy to do. It's no problem whatsoever, because we sit around and I could have gave a nice inspirational story this morning, read a few scripture, got you smiling, giggling a little bit. We'd all went home and we faked it really well. All right? Just the way it is. The only thing that Jesus kind of throws a little, you know, he throws a rod in the spoke, so to speak, because he calls that hypocrite. And he says, woe to the one who wears the mask, because that's what hypocrisy means, the mask wearer. Don't wear the mask. Let's just be real, right? So how are we going to get there? We have to make sure that we become subjects. So if I ask you right now, Do you really believe you're a subject? Or are you just being a Christian? Yahweh is good to all. His tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Yahweh, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power. To make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. You see how reading Psalms 45 now, that was important that we put the information out first before we read it? To let you know what we're up against here. Thy kingdom is everlasting kingdom. It's an everlasting kingdom. And thy dominion endureth through all generations. No time in the history of Scripture, the information we have in the history of this world, did God ever give up being the king of the universe. No time. It was not a fight between him and Satan, and somehow God came up short because the very man that he created, look at him now. You can count it as a loss, but God never lost anything. Never lost. It was always in the plan and purpose of God to make sure no matter how mean and evil and vicious man can be, God has made a way out. Always in his plan. Before Christ was crucified, God made a way out. He said, I already crucified him before the foundations of the world. He didn't mean he suspended him on the cross out somewhere in the universe. In his plan and his purpose, over at the end, we read it in the end, his plan is there'll be a kingdom with subjects who will love the Lord their God with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their might, and with all their strength. That's what's going to happen. We got to decide if we want to be one of them subjects. Because it's going to happen. I'm telling you today, there will be a kingdom of God actually operating on this earth. It'll be operating. There'll be a king. There'll be subjects. And it's going to be something to be involved in. But it's our decision. We all get to decide whether we want to be in it or not. And there's only one way to be in that kingdom. You have to be a subject to honor the rule of the king. Because all other rule is going to be put down. Every bit of it. It won't last. Yahweh upholdeth all things that fall. He raises up all those that be bowed down. The eyes all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfied the desire of every living thing. Yahweh is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. Yahweh is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. Remember that. We don't just call upon him. We really want the truth. Right? And then you'll see here in a little, probably not today, but in this lesson, Jesus is brought before Pilate. And he's talking about him being this, because you remember, we're going to have a king that's going to be substituting. I mean, you know what a substitute is? Is a substitute the real teacher? No, it's a substitute. How many of you know when we were in school, we loved substitutes? Because they didn't know what was going on. They kind of came in there. It was a free day. I mean, bad as we were, substitute was hung, you know, they were just, we just tied them up, whatever. You know, they had no control. Because they didn't realize that they was all, you know why? Because they came in. Now, maybe substitutes are different now. But I can tell you, when I was in school, which was a long time ago, substitutes were like one of the kids. Just the way it was. And so we kind of take that attitude. What is Jesus going to be? He's the substitute. But this substitute, he only speaks the words of the original, the teacher. So nobody likes the substitute that comes in and says, okay, class, get your lesson books out, and they know exactly where you left off. And they raise their voice. And they look at you in the eyes. And you sink down in your seat and go, oh boy, here we go. You know you're not getting out of that. That's what Jesus did. He ain't saying anything that's on his mind. He don't have no substitute story. He's just there to represent for a moment in time until the kingdom is turned over to the King of the universe. Well, to get in that kingdom with Jesus, you don't get there from playing games. It's going to have to be about the truth. And you know what Pilate said? What is truth? Because to Pilate, what was going on didn't make sense. His own people was crucifying a substitute. His own people was saying to Pilate, put him on a cross, crucify him. And Pilate's a pagan. And so he legitimately asks this question. What is truth? Because what did Jesus say before he asked that question? He said, I came to testify to the truth. I came to testify to the truth. I'm here to let you know that what I say is not hearsay. What I say is directly from the King of the universe. What I'm telling you, you can count on it to be a fact. I came to testify to the truth. And right now, in this moment in time, because they asked him, are you the King of the Jews? Remember that question? Are you the King of the Jews? He said, I came to testify to the truth. If the King of Kings wants me to be the King of the Jews, I'm it. It's me. And that's why Pilate asked the question, what is truth? Listen, how many want the truth? We can go to church for a long time, and I've been in it all my life. But that don't, length of time you've been in it matters nothing to God. It ain't about what did yesterday. What about today? Today, what am I honoring today? Do I really believe that I'm a subject in a kingdom who has a king and he's got rules? If I do, I want to obey them rules, whatever they are. Sometimes God gives us rules and we've been doing it different. Maybe in our life, you know, we just been doing it different. I never knew that. Nobody ever told me that. It doesn't matter if anybody told you or not. Now you know. Now you know what's truth. You got to pursue that truth. Investigate. Listen, one thing about truth, and I always tell people this, if it's true, it'll be true today. It'll be true tomorrow. It'll be true the next day. It'll be true when Christ returns. It'll continue to be true because it's truth. But if it don't remain, then it never was true. If it can be found out, it will be. And my prayer is that whatever I'm believing, I want it to be the truth, nothing but the truth. And the only way that's going to happen if we recognize the King is what? He said to all that call upon him in truth. And that's what we want. We just ask him, what's truth? He will fulfill the desires of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and save them. Yahweh preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. What is he going to do to the wicked? He would destroy them. So what I would do, if I'd be you, I would underline wicked right now in your Bible. Circle it, highlight it. If you got a bright highlight, highlight it. Go find out who they are and don't be one of them. Because if you are, he said, but all the wicked will he destroy. The king will destroy all the wicked. I don't want to be the wicked. What if I am? What if I'm living that way, but I'm just wearing the mask? Think about that. You ever done the self-testing on yourself? While we're here together, we don't mind singing the songs. We love them songs. But when you're by yourself and stuff goes wrong, what comes out? Is it the song or the wicked one? Wow. I didn't know I could preach that good. Oh, boy. My mouth shall speak the praise of Yahweh, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. So there you go. So I laid out my case that the King of the universe is always the King of the universe. He never gave it up, never lost it. He never fought with Satan. Somehow good and evil fought. And you know, good is flailing and evil's prevailing. And it's like, oh boy, we got us a race here. It's no race. We're in a moment in time. We're a moment in history right now. And let me tell you, it's getting close. You know what John says? He's the forerunner, right? John the Baptist, the forerunner. He says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's at hand. Well, that's a term they understood. Who knows what that hand means? Right? So if you have a desk, I have a small desk, right, in my office. And everything on my desk is, it's at hand. So if I put my bottle of water there, it's at hand. I don't have to stand up and get it. It's there. My printer is at hand. My computer, at hand. The paper, at hand. A pen, at hand. He said, the kingdom of heaven's at hand. What is that trying to tell us? It's close. Right? If it's close, we should live like it's close. Then Jesus comes along, and what does he say? The kingdom of heaven is near you. Wow. I think that's fair warning. Right? Now, he done died, and we're some 2,000 years later. You think it might be farther or closer? Thy kingdom come. Some people believe the church is the kingdom of Elohim, like the church is. Others, that it is the ethical rule of Yahweh set up in one's heart. It's just like I don't know about the kingdom, but it's in me. Well, let's talk about in me for a while, right? If the kingdom's in you, then that means the king sits on the throne of your life. And you're a subject of that king. And so people say, it's just so wonderful. I don't have to do anything outside. I don't go to church. Why do I need to go to church? The kingdom's in me. Well, I'm trying to figure out how do you do what he says then? Remember, because part of the kingdom is he's got rules, right? And the king's talking about his rules. Some people say, well, I don't know about that Old Testament, you know, especially Faith Temple. Man, they go a little far on that. They're 613, by the way. Some of them don't apply to us because they apply just to women. And some of them apply just to men. Some apply just to farmers. So if you're not a farmer, you good. Some of them don't apply because there's no temple in Jerusalem. So we can't do that because there's been provisions for all of those things. So I can go over a list of things and explain every one of them to you. But let's not talk about that. Let's go to the new covenant. If you study it good, there's over 1,100 commands in the new covenant. Which one of them you have a problem with? 1,100. We had a tough time staying on track with 613. And some didn't apply. Some of them were just for Levites. Any Levites in here? There you go. But all 1,100 plus is for everybody in this building. All of them. No escape. If we're struggling with 613, I'm just wondering if we're struggling with 1,100 plus. You see, it's not about how many they are, which ones they are, who they apply to. It's the fact you got them. We don't want rules. Because rules imply something. It implies a king. And you don't have a kingdom without one. You understand? So we talk about thy kingdom come. We say it fast. We sing it in songs. But do we really mean it? Do you really want God to put his rule in your life? I didn't mean to come here and say it in such a way that we all got to check ourselves. Well, yes, I did mean that. I did mean that exactly. I want to check me before I leave today to make sure that I don't just put a suit on and come over here and make you believe that somehow I got this thing figured out. Listen, this is going to be something that bugs me and bothers me for days, months, years, I hope, because we need to settle this issue that if we're going to truly seek first the kingdom of God, then we got to do better than we've been doing. We got to do much better because we need people to come into the kingdom. They ain't not coming into something that you won't even pay attention to. How would you invite them in? Oh, man, you ought to come, man. It's wonderful. See, don't mind coming to your church, sing the songs you sing. You know, that's one thing. But we're not talking about people joining membership. We're talking about people going to the kingdom of God. And that's our job, is to explain that. Jesus done it well. So it's not one's ruling heart. Some that it will gradually, come gradually through growth and development. Others believe it is waiting for us up in heaven. That's a good one. Well, I can't really do nothing about it because I ain't there yet. But boy, one day, I'm going to go to heaven and be in the kingdom. Really? Somebody needs to get all the scripture on that and give them to me because I missed that point. But what did Yeshua and the apostles teach? And what does the Bible say about the kingdom of Elohim? That's what we want to learn. Those are familiar with this. This is Rudyard Kipling's writings. May remember these six honest serving men. So in his writing, he said this: I keep six honest serving men. They taught me all I knew. Their names are what, why, when, how, and where, and who. That's what we're going to use to understand the kingdom. So the first question we're going to ask is, what? What is the kingdom? And we're going to go through this. Why is there a kingdom? I'm going to take you through this whole thing. So we're going to use this kind of framework. In this study, we will utilize these six serving men to find out what the scripture says about the kingdom of Elohim. What does it say? And that's all we're going to use. We're not going to use anything else but the scripture. Wow, isn't that something? You got to watch using the scripture because it'll mess you up. So the question is, what is the kingdom of Elohim? What is it? We're going to answer it with scripture alone. Sola scriptura. Sola scriptura. Scripture alone. The first thing to recognize is that after almost 6 weeks of teaching about the kingdom of Elohim by Yeshua, this is his teaching, between his resurrection and his ascension to heaven, the kingdom of Elohim was very real to the apostles, and they fully expected its arrival. Yeshua did not correct them in this, but only commented on the time scale involved. In Acts chapter number 1, verse 1 through 9, and this is our start, and we're going to find a spot to close here in just a little bit. I'll read this and then we'll stop. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, that all that Yeshua began both to do and teach. Remember, he's already ascended. He's already resurrected, but he teaches before he ascends. For almost 6 weeks, he's teaching. What is he teaching? Primarily, he's teaching the kingdom. So this is our master. Now he is in his glorified state. He's done been killed on a cross, murdered for no reason. Because he claimed to be a king? Because they always put the description of your why they're killing you above your head. What does it say? King of the Jews. King of the Jews. And the Romans were used, literally, they were used to carry out this murder. Now we have Jesus killed, and above his head, King of the Jews. But he teaches after 3 days, he's risen from the dead, and he's going to teach his disciples. This is Yeshua. He's teaching them, and for almost 6 weeks straight, for 40 days, he's laid out the case. Until the day in which he was taken up, after that, he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of Yahweh. Speaking of things pertaining to what? The kingdom of Yahweh. He's telling them about this kingdom. Does he understand this kingdom? You better believe it. Is he teaching it correctly? Absolutely. So should we question, as believers, should we question his teaching about the kingdom? No, we should question our belief system about the kingdom. And I believe at the beginning of this, I've proved the point that our belief system about this kingdom is absolutely, unequivocally wrong. There's no doubt about that. Because we think we can bring in a republic, a monarchy, they're both the same, into the kingdom of God. It can't happen. Because your right to choose is yours. You've been created with that version. But your right to choose, does it always have to be wrong? Why do men choose the opposite of God? Remember he says in Deuteronomy, he talks about this. Deuteronomy literally means two. And it's talking about the second time God tries to deliver the law. The second time he gives his command. He didn't change them. He said, okay, take two. If you read Deuteronomy, that's what Deuteronomy means. Okay, take two. I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life. That's what the king says. Do you have to choose death? Do you have to choose death? Anybody here, do you have to choose death? That's not what the king said. You know what the king said? Choose life. So you know what you should do today? I don't know how to explain it, but I'm going to sure seek it out with everything that's in me. But today, I know this. I choose life. That's what I'm choosing. I choose to live in the kingdom of God. That's all he's asking. You make the first step. You got to choose it in order for it to work for you. If you don't choose it, it's against you. It'll bring harm to you. But if you choose life, it'll work for you. How many want it to work for you? Every person here, before you leave today, you can choose to live in the kingdom of God. That's your choice. You get to choose. The king is not taking that choice from you just because you're a subject. I get to choose anything. Trust me, and we already know ourselves. Don't give yourself a lot of choices, because most of the time we do what? We choose wrong. So he tells us, blessing, cursing, life and death. Choose life. I used to love teachers that would do that. I was in captain school, 25 years ago or something. And I was doing my exam and it was in a Coast Guard station, and this guy was, must have been in the military or something. You know, he's walking like that. And he was making me nervous. You know, I'm like, man, I'm struggling with this one. And he turned around. And he stopped by my desk there. And he put his finger there. And he's on the one underneath the one I picked. And he just, I love that man to today. He didn't have to do that. But he was the king in that kingdom. And I was a subject. I erased that and zoop. Thank you, sir. Thank you. That's all God's trying to do. He's not trying to run your life. He's trying to tell you, I have a set of rules that'll keep you alive. How many want to follow the rules that'll keep you alive? That's all he wants to do. So sometimes in life, you're going along and you're reading the Word and going, oh, take what it says. I made this choice. It's okay. Erase your choice. That's what subjects do. I don't have to have it my way. I want the way of God. And you know what? You pass. You get to stay in the kingdom. So hopefully you'll see that. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. The promise of the Father, he says, you have heard of me. And so for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with Holy Spirit not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Master, will thou at this time, what's the question? Restore the kingdom to Israel. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father had put in his own power. But you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up in a cloud, received him out of their sight. So I want you to keep this in mind. We're going to stop there and we'll take up here next Sunday. But I want you to think about this. I want you to think that nobody in here is lacking the power that you need to accomplish this.